It's the High School Sports Today podcast with Coach Rick Cleveland.
Good evening and welcome to the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today. Have to ignore my voice. I'm a little hoarse after Spain Park and Hoover last Friday night, and what a game that was. Got a shout out to Tim Vakakis and that entire Spain Park coaching staff. What an amazing job they did against a really well-coached Hoover football team. And you think about everything that Hoover's been through, and to see the amazing win that they had going down into Miami, into South Florida, and winning that game against Western, and then to come back and battle toe-to-toe with their arch rival. That was just an outstanding game. But congratulations to both teams. You're talking about sportsmanship at the highest level. Those two teams displayed it. And, you know, Hoover had a chance to win the game on the last possession. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, Spain Park just did an amazing job defensively. And hats off to both teams, both coaching staffs. When you see those kind of football games, you really have to admire the work that those young people put in and those coaching staffs put in, because that's a big game. Is there a better football team in Alabama right now than Auburn High School? I'm going to tell you right now. When, you know, they've had two really big wins, the latest coming 52-17 over what I think is one of the as fine a coach team in Alabama as Vestavia Hills. Robert Evans and those guys do a tremendous job. And for Keith Etheridge and his team to just put a slobber knocker of a whipping on them, that was some kind of football game. So congratulations to Keith Etheridge. We'll be talking to Keith about 6:30 tonight and look forward to doing that as well. Carver Montgomery just continues to roll on. I don't know how good Percy Julian is. I know Robert E. Lee, who Percy Julian used to be, has probably as much history, tradition, as any school in the state of Alabama, but they've certainly not been able to live up to that perfection that was there with Spence McCracken and Jimmy Perry and those guys, and going all the way back to Tom Jones. What a tradition-rich school. And, of course, Bobby Carr at Carver and Montgomery's just done a wonderful job there, and they're putting a lot of points on the board, I can tell you that. So if you get a chance to see Carver play, you certainly want to see them play. Central of Phoenix City goes out to St. Louis, Missouri, and beats Lutheran North. And they win 30-12. And what could you say? I mean, 7A's got some really good football teams, and a couple of them are in that same region. So when you see Auburn and Central Phoenix City and those teams like that, and then you got Dothan, you got Enterprise, what Judd's doing there at Dothan, and what the guys are doing at Enterprise, you just, I mean, that is one tough region. And I know everybody thinks 7A, the region in Birmingham, is the strongest. I don't know this year that they're the strongest. I'm not so sure that region with Auburn and Central Phoenix City and Enterprise and Dothan, and you throw some other teams in there, somebody's going to put a monkey wrench in that before it's over. But, you know, the way we've got the playoffs set up now, those teams can literally play the same region team in the state championship game. So we look forward to whatever happens in that. And 6A, you got to look at Saraland. Saraland still just, I mean, they keep getting better and better, and looks like that they have continued their dominance down here in South Alabama. But Clay Chalkville defeats Ramsey this week, 62-7. And so Clay Chalkville is really impressive. You look at some other teams in there. Spain Park really showed that they're a force to be reckoned with by beating their Cross City rival there in Hoover. Spanish Fort here in South Alabama defeats Theodore 24-21. Great win for Chase Smith. You know, it's really kind of perplexing when you think about Steve Mask and those guys at Theodore. But I really believe that Theodore will be a force to be reckoned with before the season's over. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go to the Pops Midtown communication lines and talk to Juan Johnson, the new head football coach at Baker High School. Coach, welcome to High School Sports Today, pal, and congratulations on starting off with a 2-0 record. And kind of wanted to get you on to talk a little bit about your football team, because you certainly have done a wonderful job there coming in and really not being as familiar with Baker or anything about South Alabama football coming in from you at Trustful in Birmingham.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I've got a great coaching staff of guys, of coordinators that have done a good job of getting our guys prepared to play. Wouldn't quite say I'm unfamiliar with South Alabama football, but that's just because my hometown's in Bruton. So I was born and raised about an hour north of here. Played there at T.R. Miller for Jamie Riggs. So I got a little bit of a history in South Alabama, but overall, definitely proud of my guys. They've done a tremendous job preparing. We still got a long road to go.
Well, you do have some history then. If you're from Bruton and you're one of Jamie's guys, then you certainly have a deep-rooted history. And you don't want to get me started on Jamie Riggs. I think he's one of the premier coaches that I've ever coached against. I can tell you that. And we had some huge battles with him in my 46 years of coaching. So if you've got that pedigree, you got a leg up on a lot of people. I can tell you that one.
I got a chance to play for him, and I was actually his offensive. I was his last offensive coordinator at T.R. Miller before he retired. So I got a really deep history with Coach Riggs. Obviously, him being there from '89. So from the time I was in kindergarten, I really knew who I was going to play for, and I was definitely without saying just paying tribute to him and everything that he kind of invested in me and the things I've done. But my Baker kids are tremendous. I've had a treat of being back home in South Alabama and getting them prepared to play.
Well, shame on us after covering high school sports for almost 50 years not knowing that. And I'm gonna blame Jamie. That's who I'm gonna blame. And I'm gonna get on as soon as we're off the air tonight. I'm gonna call him and I'm gonna get on him about that. I can promise you. And at least you didn't get treated like Lane Kiffin or some of those offensive coordinators did at Alabama when Coach Saban was there. They were pretty much held by the toenails. Jamie's he's something else to work for and a great guy. I love him.
There's only one thing you told me to run, that was tall sweet.
Oh, I know that.
If you know anything about Terrell football, we were going to run tall sweet left, right, and try to get vertical on it.
And if you get down on the goal line, if you don't run tall sweep, I'm calling the next play. I can promise you.
I understand.
This Baker team, and I'd be totally honest with you, we thought coming into the season that Theodore would be a slobber knocker of a football team. And you take your team over there and your coordinators and all your coaches, you don't bat an eye. And you win that football game 33-23. Kind of give me some of your expectations when you saw that your opening game was against a pretty rugged team. But you've been playing really great teams in Birmingham every week. So I don't think it was much of a challenge. I don't think it was anything different than what you're used to. Let's put it that way.
Coming out of spring, we went over to Southern Miss and we played Laurel High School. They were state runner-up over there last year in Class 5A. Had an opportunity to play a lot of different teams. I wanted to play a team that I thought would run the football and run it straight at us. In Region 1, in order to be very successful, you've got to be able to stop things running the football, and you've got to be able to run the ball very successful in doing so. We lost that game 14-7, but I felt really good about our defense just from the fact that their success only came on third and long tip passes. They scored on tip pass or late. So going into the summer, I kind of felt really good about where we were and the establishment of the program. But obviously losing the spring, new coach coming in, it wasn't like everybody was just penciling in Baker just to kind of be standard on things. But we just always thought we preach toughness and discipline. I talk about things in which, again, my high school coach oftentimes talked about to me. Got pun problems. And if you turn the ball over, you're going to lose a lot of high school football games. Those are two things in which we kind of control. We went to Theodore going in that game. We felt like if we could be the most toughest, most disciplined team, we'd give ourselves a chance to win the game. They made a few mistakes early. Our pace kind of played a factor in there about second quarter and allowed us to get up early and big. We were up at 1.33-7. So we talked about the second week kind of coming in and kind of finishing games. But that was kind of our mindset going into Theodore. We thought that if we could kind of just establish the fact that we wanted to stop the run, and make teams beat us a different way, a different kind of way here in South Alabama, then we could give ourselves a chance to win ball games.
You know, when you're down, and we're talking to Juan Johnson, the head football coach at Baker High School, and when you're up 33-7, what happened? That's what people always want to know. So I get to ask that now that I'm out of coaching and retired, and I can ask you guys that. So what happened? You're up 33-7, and boom.
Boom. We made a few mistakes. They're high school kids, and we made a few mistakes. We put the ball on the ground. We turned it over late inside the five. They punched one in there late, and then we turned it over again, and we give them an opportunity to get back in the ball game. But when it came down to it, we wanted to run the ball. We finished up the drive there, put a couple first down drives together there and kind of won the game. But at the end of the day, we made a few mistakes. You got to credit Theodore for not quitting. They played really good in the second half. But the thing about our tendency and most teams that I've coached, we want to start fast and try to finish fast. But we didn't quite do the finish fast part on Friday night. But we want to take the punch. We want to throw the first punch and be the most toughest team out there and kind of see where the chips lay.
So when you go and you look at the film on Saturday morning or whenever you look at it, we used to look at it on Friday night after the game, but we'd have to travel about 80 miles to pick up our film. Now you guys got it downloaded on your computers, and you're ready to hoop and holler within probably a couple of hours after the game. When you looked at that Theodore film, what did you see that really, really pleased you with this Baker football team?
I saw a football team that was hungry, that was energized, and that was really ready to play. They played almost – there's two types of teams in which I oftentimes tell there's a team that has a chip on the shoulder and there's a team that has a target on the back. Most teams can't do both, but we definitely had to, we had the chip on our shoulder just on the fact that everybody oftentimes, again, I won't say they counted us out. We were just unknown with the new coach coming in and a new offense. But I felt really good about our defense. We're really senior heavy over there. We have Juwan Springs and Donovan Hudson at safety. Quinteris Robinson, all three are North Alabama commits. I saw a group that was getting to the football, that made an effort to gang tackle, if you to a sense of the word, and that were pursuing it. We had a kid in D. Ryan that's probably he's a defensive end in college. He plays a three technique for us that did a really good job. I mean, he had six tackles for loss against Theodore. If you have one kid that has six tackles for loss, that's going to be an impact player for me and Zach Williams. That definitely, he changed the course of the game. That got him in third and long and got him in situations in which they really didn't want to be in.
You know, I when you talk about three techniques, we had a buddy here who just passed away not long ago. And he was a center. And he'd always tell me, he'd come to practice and he'd say, "Coach, you ain't doing worth a hoot. That center can't reach that three technique." Oh, well, obviously, Theodore didn't reach that three technique very much, did he? Which he should never reach it. A center should never reach a three technique, ever. No, I don't believe
it's
that.
It's tough to do.
Yeah, it's
tough
really,
to do.
It's really tough to do. Well, if you saw those things that pleased you, what did you see that, hey, we got to fix this, and we got to fix it Monday?
Probably just the sustaining blocks up front. I thought our offensive line, they did a solid job. We want to sustain blocks. I mean, we had, I think we only had about 225 yards of total offense. Our defense gave a lot of short fields. We started a sophomore quarterback in Tate Graham, who stands about 6'5", about 220. He's going to be really good, but obviously at this point in his career, it was his first career start, and when we're going to play the Theodore Bobcats, who by all means, just from the standpoint of preparation, that ain't quite an easy task. They do a really good job defensively of mixing up coverages. And I want to say he was 15 of 22 for, I want to say, just about 150 yards. But he was really efficient just on third down. I think we were 14 of 16 on third down in that game, which contributed to that 33-7 getting a jump out. I mean, if you're efficient on third down and you stay on the field, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Well, now, and we're talking to Juan Johnson, the head football coach at Baker High School, 2-0, 1-0 in Region 1, 7A Region 1. Now, you're talking about a 6'5 quarterback. Now, Baker's been really good in basketball for a long time, going all the way back to Jeb Blackerby and people like that. Is this guy a multi-sport player? Because if he's 6'5, he needs to be.
He started at first base as a freshman last year for Coach Minto on the baseball team.
Is that right?
He had some varsity experience there, just from the standpoint of a different sport. He's not hard to pick out on campus. He's got bright red hair also. But, yes, he's definitely a multi-sport kid that has been in a few battles. I like the I actually drove around to watch him play baseball. I really just wanted to see how he competed. And at that point, there was no doubt. We've also used Juwan Springs at quarterback. So we've done a little bit of a two-platoon system. Not quite a lot, but, you know, Tate is obviously taking majority of the snaps there at quarterback. We'll do whatever it takes to win games.
Well, you're obviously doing a great job. I'm going to have to call David Armstrong when we get off tonight after I call Jamie, because you got a 6'5 guy there playing football and baseball. David, why are we not playing basketball? That's so good gracious.
Oh, he's definitely trying. I think he tried to get him coming out of Causey there, and he was like, all right, Coach, I think me and Coach Armstrong actually stand next to each other every day at lunch break down the concourse.
Yeah.
And just talk about different kids here and there, and he was like, yeah. Trying to get Tate, he just is going to go football, basketball, baseball. So, Coach Armstrong's definitely aware.
So, Juan, what is the difference? What do you see as the difference in Birmingham football and Mobile football after only, what, several months here?
Oh, if I was evaluating it right now off the cuff, Birmingham probably over the last few years probably had better quarterback play. And the fact that you kind of spread the ball around and make people cover the 53 yards across and the 100 yards, that's nothing against Birmingham football and, I mean, Mobile football and the coaches in which they've had. That you just had, I think, a few better quarterbacks in that area and really in the central Alabama area where you've seen teams kind of be more efficient in the passing game, which may have, you know, I think in 7A football, you've got to be able to throw the football if you're going to win games in the playoffs. You take the Ventrals, the Hoovers, the Trustfields and the Thompsons of the world, they're all spinning a little bit while they do have really good run games, but on third down, they're definitely going to put it in there.
Well, you guys have a you have a coach's son at Hewitt Trustful who came in, if I'm not mistaken, from Arkansas. Now he's playing his son's playing quarterback, right?
Yeah, he just finished up for us. He's actually over at Mississippi Gulf Coast over in Permian, Mississippi. He's starting quarterback there, Peyton Floyd.
Yep.
He was, as the office coordinator, he won 7A back of the year in 2022, finished second in 2023. He scored 100 touchdowns in two seasons for me. So, obviously, he made my job a lot easier as office coordinator when you can do that. But Coach Floyd was very tremendous to me. He hired me whenever we decided to move from Birmingham there from Bruton to Birmingham. Obviously, the Gus Malzahn protege, played quarterback for Gus, Shiloh Christian back in doing his Arkansas, during his high school days. So, I mean, just from that pedigree, being around him, the whole tempo offense, we're very similar, but a little bit different. I think every team's different in how you win games. You've got to adapt them to the guys you've gotten, but obviously, we're going to snap it really fast for you to come watch us play.
That's fun. That's a fun way to play. That is really fun. It's not like it used to be for us for so long, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and if you didn't get a first down, you just punt it. Now, you guys, y'all don't have any fear. Y'all just go for it, and I love that kind of football. I really do. What's the difference in your job? We're talking to Juan Johnson, the head football coach at Baker High School here in Mobile. What's the difference now from an OC to a head football coach?
Really, I'm having to deal with the public a little bit more. I was actually football operations there, so I did kind of a little bit of behind the scenes stuff. A few years ago, I helped to kind of schedule our game. We played Saraland. Saraland came up to play us a few years ago. I did a lot of the scheduling standpoint, played teams out of Mississippi, played team out of Texas, Florida, those type things. But just every day, you're just dealing with people a little bit more, just from administration, counselors, and obviously the public. From speaking events, in which obviously being at the forefront of the program, obviously going to take a little bit more time away from football.
You have been very successful as an assistant basketball coach on the ladies' side. That's got to be something that you have a passion for. So tell us a little bit about that.
I've always enjoyed coaching basketball. My family is actually a basketball family. I was the only one in my family that played football in college.
Wow.
Both my sisters played basketball at Troy. Two of my cousins played basketball at Troy. one of my cousins right now, one of those cousins, he's the head coach at was Percy Julian now. It used to be the old Robert Lee High School.
Yeah.
So he won the 7A title there. So, I mean, I come from a basketball family. Other cousin played at Chipola Junior College there and then went on to play at Jacksonville University there, Division One. So I was the only male in my family that was under 6 foot. So everybody else is kind of a treetop tall people. When you see me, I'm about 5'8". And they said, why'd you play football? So that's kind of how I got into the football basketball realm. But coached basketball for many years. I was a head basketball coach at Stanhope Elmore, head basketball coach at T.R. Miller. And then when I went to Birmingham there, I got to coach with Tanya Hunter.
Yeah.
Our head girls coach, she was turning around the women's program there. I've got a chance to coach many Division I girls basketball players that play at UAB, North Alabama. Jordan Hunter, her daughter, just recently, she was she finished second in Miss Basketball. She's the should be the starting point guard at Auburn this year. So I've always said that I always call myself a ball coach more than just a football coach, just because if you see me, I'm 3-time runner up in the last 6 years in basketball. So I just like to win, like to compete, and a lot of that was a tribute to what Tanya Hunter was implementing there, Hewitt.
That's a fun thing. You've had an interesting life coaching already, and you're a very young man. That's really interesting. Talk about your staff. Were you able to bring some coaches in and just kind of give us a rundown on those coordinators and some coaches that are really making a difference in these young kids' lives?
All right. We have two. I'll start on the defense side of the ball. I actually kept Eric Scott as our DC. I felt that a big part of us being successful would be the fact that we could keep continuity on one side of the ball. That was going to be a third year under him. After watching film, I saw some really good things. We kind of saw the same philosophy on things and how it needed to operate, and he's been very, very good. We got our first shutout this past week in 3 years against Homer Bryant this past Friday night, and he's done a tremendous job. We have Coach Craig Sanders, who played at Auburn, coaching our D-line. We also have Coach Wiley, Coach Pipkin, Coach Morgan and Coach Norwood there on the back end. They've done a tremendous job preparing those guys. On the offensive side of the ball, I brought in Tucker Brown. Me and Coach Brown actually had coached together at Hewitt before he actually went to go work for Coach Malzahn as a grad assistant there at UCF. And then I think last year he took a high school job back at Opelika. Just knowing his background in the system and playing fast, I wanted to have someone with that background around me to help implement it here at Baker, and he's done a tremendous job. Tucker Brown, he's from Trustville, of all places. He played at U of Trustville for Jack Wood back in the day. So that has been very good. We also, Coach Austin Barber, who had been the offensive line coach at Baker, I named him co-OC along with Coach Brown. They've done a tremendous job. He's kind of taken a liking and trying to build our quarterbacks there with Tate Graham. We also have Coach Wilson, our O-line coach, Coach Victor McClendon, our wide receivers coach. He came over from Daphne with us. He's been tremendous in being effective and kind of changing the culture of our wide receiver room. I mean, you lose Bryce Kane and KJ Beckham, you know, you lose a lot of offense there.
Still
so
pretty good players.
He's been molding, molding a really good group there along with Coach Logan there. I have two wide receiver coaches. So we've got a really good staff, really good group of guys that buy in and bring a lot of energy every day to our kids and just give them a chance to win games and really just try to impact their lives daily, just on and off the field, just from a discipline standpoint. Most of my coaches are teachers. I tell people 10 years. I've also taught AP U.S. history for 5 years at a time at one point in my career. I had a PE degree for over 15 years I hadn't used until this year. So it's like my first year not being actively in the classroom other than the fact of teaching PE there. Thank you.
Well, you certainly done a great job. And I know this week you have Davidson. You go to Davidson, and they got a brand-new stadium there. And talk just a little bit about what you've seen with Davidson.
Coach Lambert does a really good job. Obviously, he's the new coach there at Baker. They are very efficient at what they do. They want to turn around and hand it out there. They're a little bit of pro style, a little bit of old school football, but they also like to spread it out a little bit and get the ball to their athletes. I like their tempo. I like defensively. They'll line up in a 3-4. They'll bump over to a little bit of a stack. They want to base out of a cover 3. They'll go man down in the red zone, those type things. Good teams are good at what they do. They really don't, they ain't really going to hide much, but you're good and you're effective at what you do. I think they're a well-coached team, and we're looking forward to Friday night.
Juan, thank you for taking time out. I know you got a JV game, and I know you got some out there you really want to look at, and they need to see you out there on the field. So thank you for taking time out with us. Welcome home. I'm going to tell Jamie that,
you
know, he should have let me know that, but we'll have a talk with Jamie about that. But we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And
thank you.
We'll be in touch on our Saturday morning program, too, because we certainly want to get you on there. Best of luck to you, and be well, pal.
Thank you.
When we return, we're going to talk to Keith Etheridge. You know, we're talking about that Auburn High School football team. Let's let him tell us a little bit about it. He knows a whole lot more about it than we do. But I had a coach tell me today, said, "Coach, I don't think this team's the best team only in Alabama. I think they may be the best team in the Southeast." Pretty good coach that said that. Two games into the season. We'll see when you come back to the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today right here.
Welcome back to the High School Sports Today podcast with Coach Rick Cleveland.
You know, when you're trying to effort coaches on a Tuesday afternoon, and Tuesday's a big day. I mean, Tuesday's a day everybody's hitting, everybody's going one-on-ones or one-on-twos. And so we're efforting Keith Etheridge, and he's pretty good about, you know, remembering, making time for all of us guys that try to cover high school sports. I guess maybe DeMarc Mitchell is a guy that can get him a little bit more frequently than we can here in Mobile. But we'll keep trying to get him here in a minute, and I'm sure he'll call us here pretty soon. You know, we talked about 7A and 6A. Let's move down and talk a little bit about some of these 5A teams. Danny Horn at Central Clay County is loaded to the brim again. They beat Benjamin Russell 35-28 this past Friday night. And I can promise you that Danny Horn's football team's going to run the football, and they're going to run it right at you. And they're a good football team, and they beat a pretty good Smitty Grider Benjamin Russell football team this past Friday night. You keep looking on down. You look at some football teams that I think are really good. Greenville's got a good football team. They scored 74 points, and I know they played Wilcox Central. Wilcox Central's got some athletes, but score 74 points in a high school game is a lot of points to put on the board. Leeds, Jerry Hood, you can always count on Jerry Hood having a good football team at Leeds. Those guys beat Shades Valley this past week, 28-19. Don't ever shut them out. Don't think that they won't be a worthy opponent whenever we get late in the season. Then you go into Montgomery and you look at Montgomery Catholic, and Coach Johnson's done such an outstanding job there. Those guys really know how to play the game. They're multi-talented as far as athletics, as far as athletes are concerned, but they certainly do one heck of a job with those athletes that they get there at Montgomery Catholic. So don't be surprised if they're not one of those teams that get into the final eight, wherever we get to in Class 5A. Don't know much about Shelby County. I got somebody sent me a note the other day and said, "Coach, you might want to check out Shelby County." And Shelby County is located in Columbiana. And they beat Hopeville 31-14 this past weekend. And of course, you can't ever count out Terry Curtis. He's the winningest high school coach in the state of Alabama. They beat LaFleur 25-6 Friday night, and you know, that's Terry Curtis is going to find a way to beat you more times than not. I can promise you that. And a heck of a football coach and one of the great gentlemen in high school sports. Then you go over to Vigor, and Vigor's got their new coach. John's back in there as their head coach. Was there when they won the state championship. Took a couple of years coaching elsewhere, but they beat Smith Station 36-9 Friday night. And I can tell you right now, I'm sorry, they beat Tuscaloosa County 36-7. And I can tell you right now, those guys are talented. Now, they lost probably the best offensive lineman in the state of Alabama, who transferred over to Theodore. When you talk about Michael Dubose, he is he's one heck of a football player, but it doesn't look like Vigor has lost much in that offensive line. They scored 36 points against a really good Tuscaloosa County team. And then across town here in Mobile, Williamson scored 44 points against Wayne County, Mississippi. And Antonio Coben has done a tremendous job there at Williamson. So we got some really good 5A football teams here in Mobile. Look forward to talking a little later on tonight to Drew DeYarman. Drew will kind of bring us up to date on Huntsville football, everything going on in the northern part of the state. So I'm anxious to hear what he's got to say about Huntsville football and all the different classifications. And 4A is, boy, it's it's going to be a real scramble. I can tell you that right now. When you look at the teams in 4A, a lot of people look at Jackson. Jackson's got a quarterback that everybody in the country is going to be recruiting. And I had one coach who played them earlier in the year and said, "Coach, I don't see anybody beating Jackson the rest of the year. They're as fine a football team. They got, of course, the quarterback's a great player, but they got a running back that's as good as any we've ever played against." I'm talking about Jeff Kelly over at Sierra Land that told me that. And Jeff said, I mean, I just can't see anybody else beating them, not in 4A. Just a really, really good football team. And I can promise you that Jackson will be – they'll be in the hunt when it comes down to the to playoff time. Good, good football team, I can tell you that. You might want to look at some of these other guys too, but I'm really thinking that maybe Wes Morgan up in the Huntsville area is a pretty good football team. Don't know a whole lot about them. I do know up north Cherokee County is pretty good. They beat Arab 42-21 this past week. Fayette County, when you talk about Fayette County, you think about the tradition that they've had there with Walden Tucker and his son, and they've just had a great football tradition. But they beat South Lamar 57-8, and I don't know a whole lot about South Lamar. Some of you folks may know something about those guys, but score 57 points is that's a good football team. And then the whole South Lamar to only 8, something else too. Over in Roanoke, over in East Alabama, Hanley High School, you know, you go back to the days of Mike Battles Sr., and they were a perennial playoff team. You look now, and they're not taking a backseat to anybody over in that area. They beat Dadeville the other night 48-21, so I'm sure Hanley's going to be something to be reckoned with here before the season's over. go down to 3A, and I'm really excited for this Bayside Academy team. They defeated Marbury 42-14. Now, St. Michael's obviously beat Bayside in the first game of the year, but you folks that aren't familiar with St. Michael's, St. Michael's is a Catholic high school right on the outskirts of Fairhope. And Phillip Rivers, yep, that Phillip Rivers, North Carolina State All-American, went on to play for the Los Angeles Chargers. Phillip Rivers has moved, he and his whole family, he and his wife, who is his wife is a very athletic lady herself. They have, I think, 10 children, may have 11 now, but one of their older children is a starting quarterback at St. Michael's, and you want to keep an eye out on this young man. When you look at this young Rivers, the quarterback for St. Michael's, he's going to be something special for a long time. And so I know they're playing in 5A, but they beat Bayside, and Bayside held their own for a while. But so I'm thinking in 3A, Bayside's a team that you might want to keep your eye on. Those guys are doing a good job there. Then up at Gordo, Gus Smith and those guys at Gordo won a big game over Bibb County, 36-35 in overtime. And I really think those are two of the better teams in 3A. Both Gordo and Bibb County are really good football teams. Hillcrest of Evergreen beat Andalusia. Trent Taylor and Andalusia's always got a really good football team. And I can tell you this, If Hillcrest Evergreen beat Andalusia, they beat a really good football team. So keep an eye on Hillcrest Evergreen. Mars Hill Bibles is the team that has kind of caught my eye. And I think they beat Madison Academy and Bob Godsey the first week. I'm not positive of that, but I'm almost sure of that. They beat Russellville 28-14 this past week. So that's another team in 3A that I think you need to keep your eye on. And then, of course, we just talked to Juan Johnson, who played for Jamie Riggs at T.R. Miller. And T.R. Miller, when you look at that coaching staff up there, they got 100 years of experience when the head coach's daddy's on the sideline. But Brent's daddy is a heck of a football coach, now retired and helping there in Bruton. And they beat T.R. Miller 40-7. And so T.R. Miller's going to be a team to be reckoned with as well. But that's pretty much all I see in Class 3A. Now, Class 2A. Let me tell you a little bit about a school called Bayshore Christian. Now, most of you folks that play baseball know that Bayshore Christian and Jeff Haig, who's the athletic director and head baseball coach there, what a great job Jeff has done leading that athletic program. And he really hired one of the finest men and finest head football coaches in the state of Alabama when he hired Phil Lazenby. And they hadn't played a varsity football game until this year. And they won their opening game this year, this past week, 28-7 over McIntosh. And that may not be such a big deal to a lot of you folks, but to see a small private school that really came to being out of a church, and for them to have an athletic program led by Jeff Haig, who was an outstanding high school baseball player at Daphne for Lloyd Skoda, and for him to develop that athletic program, they built a brand new school. And now they've got a first-year football program that played a JV schedule last year, and they win their first game 28-7. Congratulations to Phil Lazenby and that entire group of coaches over there, because they're climbing a mountain, and they made their first step this past Friday night. Coosa Christian and those guys there went to Pell City and defeated Pell City 17-7. Now, I don't know a lot about Coosa Christian, but I do know this. I know they play a pretty good brand of football. And from what I understand, they got a really good running back that moved in from Tennessee. And he's something special. And so I'm anxious to see how Coosa Christian fares as we go on during this season. Another team in 2A that just has had a great athletic program is Providence Christian down in Dothan. Those guys beat Northside Methodist 28-0. And I would imagine they got a group of athletes that play everything. They probably play football, basketball, and baseball. And they've been really good in all the other sports, so I would imagine they're pretty doggone good and pretty salty in football as well. St. Luke's Episcopal beat Marengo 22-0. Tell you the team that has really dropped off a little bit is B.B. Comer over in Sylacauga. Vincent beat B.B. Comer 21-18. Now, B.B. Comer's been really, really good for the last couple of years. But I can tell you right now that when you go to Vincent and you play a Vincent team, that is a tough place to play. And for B.B. Comer to play them to 21-18, that's a credit to those young kids, because I know they're young. And so a good football game between Vincent and B.B. Comer. Vincent may be a team you got to deal with in Class 2A. We had a forfeit in 2A. Houston County, Graceful, Florida, forfeited to them. And I don't know why that is. And if any of you know why that is, you can kind of send us a note right there on Facebook Live and tell us what happened there. But a lot of times, and I think us, Alabama and Florida, are on the same schedule. I mean, it would surprise me just for a team just to forfeit for, you know, just because they didn't want to play. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't see many people doing that. Class 1A, don't know a whole lot about Class 1A. That's something I probably need to spend a little bit more time talking to some people about. But I do know that Leroy is a perennial 1A contender. They beat Clark County this past week. And I can tell you this. Clark County and Leroy, they don't exchange birthday cards or Christmas cards. Those teams, I mean, it's just a rivalry, and that's good. It's good that we have those rivalries. but Leroy defeated Clark County 13-7. Good win for the Bears over in Leroy. The Millery's always good. 46-20 over Washington County. You go on down, and I saw Spring Garden. Spring Garden defeated Pleasant Valley 34-12. Now, Spring Garden has had a heck of a basketball program over there, and their girls' basketball has been tremendous. And so I'm glad to see them doing well in football. So 34-12 over Pleasant Valley. And Valley Head, still pretty good, 35-6 over Section. And that's pretty much wraps that up. And we want to – I got to mention Wadley over near Auburn. That's where Southern Union Junior College is, or community college now. Wadley beat Horseshoe Bend 62-15. So there's some really good football teams at all levels of high school football. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to try to reconnect with Keith Etheridge and see what we can do there. And you're listening to Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today. And when we return, we'll try our best to hook up with Coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School.
Welcome back to the High School Sports Today podcast. Here's Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today. And, you know, some of these coaches, I tell you what I'm going to make Keith do. I'm going to make him get out and give me 10 push-ups. I don't know if he can do that or not.
I can give you 10 one-handed. What you talking about?
I believe that. Some people might believe that, but you know I know that you ain't going to do 10 like that. Keith, I know Tuesday's a long day, and it's a work day. It's our work day, and I know that.
Absolutely.
So but I appreciate you taking a few minutes here with us.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you having me on. I ran late. We have to practice on Tuesdays. We get the kids fed and then send them home. And we had a little hiccup with the meal tonight, so it ran me a little late.
Where'd all you guys come up with this deal about feeding the kids at school? When did all that start? When did that start?
They were doing it when I got here. So I didn't want to, you know, when they're doing something, when you get somewhere,
yeah.
If you stop something that they've been doing, you know, folks get upset, you know.
What do y'all
trying to upset nobody?
What do y'all eat? You eat spaghetti on Tuesday night? Is that what you do?
Well, Tuesday night we have a sponsored meal, like some of the local places are sponsors. One night it may be Baum Howers, another night it may be Byron Smokehouse, another night it may be, you know, it could be like something like tonight we had Culver's.
Yeah.
You know, just a different place.
Well, that's good PR stuff there, Keith. I'm proud of you for doing that. I know that you got all that done. I know that. All right, so you did you go to Miami the first game?
No, sir. We signed a deal where they're coming to us 2 years in a row.
That's pretty stinking good. 49.
Yeah, we play them by.
Yeah.
But we pay them like about half a gate both years. So, you know, it ends up we get two home games and we get a gate. So.
Well, you win that one 49-0 and then you beat Vestavia Hills. And I think I love Robert Evans. I think he's one of our finest young coaches around. Of course, he comes from great pedigree with
awesome coach.
Yeah.
Awesome football coach.
So now I had a guy tell me today, and I know you shoot it straight. Is this your best football team? And I don't mean just this year. I'm talking about, is it your best team ever?
No, I'm going to hold that. I'm going to hold that until the end of the year. We've got a good football team. I ain't going to lie. We got a good football team. We're good up front on both sides. You know, we got to work on some depth stuff. You know, really good at running back with the Madison kids. We got Charlie Ward that plays running back for us. He's like a Christian McCaffrey type kid that can do a lot of stuff. Our receivers are really good this year. We got the Plot kid, Peyton Plot, who's special. Got you know, some younger guys. Peyton's the only senior in that group, and we have some really good younger guys who are really good too. The problem is, no, none of them weigh over 155 pounds.
Good gracious!
But they're all good. You know, yeah. I mean, Peyton Plot, 5'8". He may be 155, 160 pounds, but he can high jump. He high jumped 6'6".
Good gracious!
Last year. Yeah, the kid's an absolute athlete. And, you know, we got about three or four of those guys that can really run. We'll go up and get it, and just hard-nosed, tough kids. Our quarterback's really good. Jack Kilgore, solid kid. I mean, he's thrown for I got the year stats right here. He's completing 79% of his balls. He's 34 for 43 for 403 yards.
Great days.
And two touchdowns. He also rushed for 110 yards against Vestavia last week. So, I mean, you know, he's really, really good player, and just a great kid too. He's got our whole offense in his arsenal. Really smart kid, so he understands the game and does a really good job for us.
You've been in a lot of rivalries, and this one is coming up Friday night for you. It's one of the biggest rivalries, and I know it is in East Alabama, but in the state, Auburn Opelika is a huge, huge rivalry. Tell me a little bit about how it ranks in some of the games that you've coached in, because you've coached in some pretty big ones.
Yeah, I have, and it ranks way up there. You know, we'll sell out the tickets on Thursday, probably late Wednesday, early Thursday. They'll probably sell out. So, you know, the place will be packed. You know, even if we go over to Opelika or if they come here, it's going to be packed. They're going to sell out a ticket. So, you know, big rivalry. You know, I've coached at T.R. Miller at Battle of Murder Creek.
Yeah.
You know, coaching the Leeds Moody. You know, there's I've coached some pretty big ones, and I really think that this is one of the biggest. I think that they're just because they're so close. You know, Opelika and Auburn butts up with each other, and Opelika has always had great athletes, and you know, Auburn has gotten better. You know, so I think the series is Auburn's up 48-47 in the series.
Get out of here! That's pretty strong.
Is that not strong? Last year when we played, it's 47-47 with three ties.
Good gracious, alive.
That's a pretty good rivalry.
Well, now tell me this, and everybody wants to know this. I'll ask you, why has Auburn gotten so good? Why? And I know y'all. Listen, I know the kind of football coach you are. I've been on that other sideline. I know that. That doesn't go. Why is Auburn? I mean, it's a college town. It's you know, most college towns, when you look at them, their teams are pretty good, but the college is the big dog in town. Auburn High School is a big guy in town now. I'm telling you.
It's one of these cities. Auburn's one of these cities that has turned into a big city because of the college that's in it. You know, we're one of the biggest schools in the state, and I think that. But they've kept that small town atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, it's still like a small town atmosphere here. Everybody's super nice. Everybody's welcoming. I think that we've got the youth park here is getting a lot better. I think that, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that Mayor Andrews is putting a lot into it, youth sports and things like that in the city. And I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people want to live here. You know, we're not open enrollment. You got to live within city limits of Auburn to go to even get in school here.
Yeah.
So it's tough. You know, when I came here and took the job, I had to actually get a place so my son could come
here. This is funny.
I had to get one before he could actually come here and get enrolled. So it's pretty good, you know. I mean, but they do that to protect the school system and protect the city. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want people that live in your city going to your school and, you know, it's ownership, you know. So the school board and the city wants that. And I think that, you know, I think these kids that, you know, we ain't got the, you know, we do have the Madison kid who's an unbelievable athlete, the running back. He's really good. We got some really good athletes, but, you know, week in, week out, you know, we get on the field with some teams that they out-athlete us a lot of times. Our kids play really hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know how that goes.
I do.
You've been places, and I've seen them UMS right groups, you know, get on the field with guys that out-athlete them, and then you look up at the scoreboard and it's 45-6 at the end of the game. You know, it makes a big deal when kids buy into the program.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. And they play hard and practice hard, and they only have, you know, these kids, you know, we have to turn them down at practice a little bit, you know, because they got one speed. It's wide open.
That makes it fun for a coach. And I can't let D. Mark Mitchell take all that credit for all that good football played over in East Alabama. Because
he'd take a lot of it, though.
Love us some D. Mark Mitchell. We do. And
absolutely.
Please say hello to him. But, okay.
I'll talk to him in the morning.
So, I'm sure. So, Carver Montgomery comes in, what I think is the toughest region in the state. I do. Yep. They can say what you want to in Birmingham. I mean, there's two really great regions in Alabama and 7A.
Yeah.
And both of y'all are really good. But Carver steps in here now, and Bobby Carr is an offensive whiz. And so, I mean, talk just a little bit about this region, because Central Phoenix City beating everybody from Missouri to Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, Central's the defending champion.
Yep.
So until somebody knocks them off, they're the ones that they're sitting at the top of the mountain, you know. But, you know, our region's so good. You got teams like, you know, you got Jed down at Dothan.
Yeah.
I mean, it does an unbelievable job down there. You got Brian over at Opelika now.
Yep.
Unbelievable job. You got Blackman down in Enterprise.
Yep.
Does a fantastic job. I mean, you've got Bobby at Carver, who they're loaded with athletes.
Yeah.
You know, and all they need is somebody that's going to gel them together. He looks like he's doing that. You know, there's some really, really good teams in our region, and you know, it's tough because there's going to be a couple of teams left out of the playoffs that are going to be good football teams.
That could win a lot of games in the playoffs. You're right.
Oh yeah, they'd be. Quarterfinals,
yeah.
Semifinals.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I know this week is a big one, and it's hard to get kids up after this rivalry. But then Enterprise, you got Ben Blackman.
Yeah.
And so there's no breathing room coming. There's
no. And the thing is, Ben's got to do the same thing because they got to play Dothan.
Yeah.
And it was their big rival.
Yeah.
And then we got to play them. So they're sitting in the same boat. You know? So. It makes it tough, man. This reason you can't celebrate a win too long. You got to get ready for the next one.
Well, I want you to talk real quick. Got about a minute and a half, then I'm gonna let you go eat supper because I know that this is a long day for you. I want you to talk about you got a game with Moody, and that kind of brings back memories from Leeds and Moody. Now there's a different culture at Moody now, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So that's going to be an interesting game because you're going to Moody, right?
Right. Yeah. I talked to Jake. We was originally supposed to play that game week zero.
Yeah.
And then he got Gainesville. He wanted to play Gainesville.
Oh yeah,
which was fine.
Yeah, wanted to play. Yeah. Wanted to play our boy. Wanted to play our boy Niblett. There you go.
Yeah, and me and Josh actually had talked about playing ourselves. You know?
Yeah.
But I had Moody week zero.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to give that game up, you know. And then Moody calls, you know, Jake calls me and he says he wants to play games. Well, I'm like, can't play. You know. So I end up, we moved our game to week six or five on the schedule. You know, you got that week zero now. So week five. So, that's when we sort of found North Miami Beach.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of how that came about. But, anyway, we played them game six. So we talked, me and Jake, and, you know, Jake was going to come here, and we talked about him coming here and us paying them, but he said he couldn't. He wanted to make sure he got a home game out of it. So what we did is I agreed to come there the first year, and we would play on Thursday night, because that way all the folks from Leeds, Moody, you know, would come.
Yeah.
You know, all the folks from around the county right there, you know, with me coming back there. I got a lot of friends in Leeds that love to come to that game. So we're going to play it on Thursday night, and then that Friday night I'll be able to go maybe even watch my nephew play at Leeds. He's
there you go.
Quarterback at Leeds.
There you go.
Connor Nelson.
Yeah.
He's a really good player.
He's a good player. He sure
he's
is.
He's a really good player.
Well,
yeah,
you got a lot of friends everywhere, buddy. You really
well,
do.
I appreciate
it. And I mean that. And I just love having you on with us. And, you
I
know,
appreciate you having me.
Well, we'll get you back pretty soon. I know that. But,
sir.
You know, I'm not one that says good luck. I just like to say be well and take care of yourself and your family,
yes,
and everything will be fine. And you know how we feel. You know
it.
How we feel about you, buddy. So
well, I appreciate you. I love y'all, brother. I appreciate everything you do.
Well, you take care. We'll see you down the road somewhere, pal. Take care and God
bye,
bless.
Thank you, Rick. God
right.
bless. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. When you talk about Keith Etheridge, you talk about one of the finest football coaches in this state, and there's not a better human being, I can tell you that. You folks, where he's coached, you know he left his footprints there. And so we appreciate him being on with us tonight. And you folks around the state of Alabama that have a chance to listen to this podcast know that we think the world of one Keith Etheridge. When we return, we're going to talk to my dear buddy, and I'm telling you, this is the guy that knows it, Drew DeArmond, up in the Huntsville area. You don't want to miss him. He'll bring us up to date on everything in the northern part of the North Alabama football.
Welcome back to the High School Sports Today podcast with Coach Rick Cleveland.
You know, when we talk high school sports, there's about three or four guys in this state that I just think are grand slams when you get a chance to talk to them. And our next guest is one of those grand slams, and it's Drew DeArmond, 97.7 The Zone in Huntsville. And, you know, I'm really anxious to find out how he feels about Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, but we'll talk about that at another time. But I know he's on a high because he loves him some Alabama Crimson Tide. Drew, welcome to High School Sports Today again.
Well, Coach, it's always an honor to be with you. How are you this evening?
I ain't got no voice. Spain Park and Hoover got most of that, I tell you right now.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, Coach, because I had a good friend who his next door neighbor used to be Chip English, and he was at the game, and he was sending me updates. I'm doing Huntsville High this year. But
yeah.
He was sending me updates throughout. It sounded like one of the crazier high school football games you're ever gonna, ever gonna be a part of. It was a heck of a win for Coach Bukakis, though, because I know they've been building, and they beat a team from my community, Spartan, the first week very impressively, and then to stack that with a win over a Hoosier team coming off of a big out of state win over there in Davie, Florida. That was huge for the Spain Park program.
Yeah, Tim Vakakis, of course, his daddy, Jim Vakakis.
Yeah.
I could tell stories about Jim Vakakis forever, and they're all good. Anytime you umpire college baseball with Jim Vakakis, you knew there was not going to be any problems at all. And Tim, he comes across the same way. I can tell you that. So did a great job with that team, and it was a great football game, and I wish everybody could have seen it like I did. Okay, Jimmy Gay. How's Jimmy doing? He must be doing pretty good. 7A Region 4, he opens up with two wins. What, they beat Hazel Green, I think, the first week, and then beat May Jemison. Things looking good for Huntsville.
Yes, Coach. Their first team defense has not given up any points in the first two games. They had a 27-0 shutout of Hazel Green on the road, and then first home game against May Jemison this past Friday. They won 36-6. The one touchdown given up was a fumble return by the May Jemison defense. They did a very good job controlling the line of scrimmage. They've got a lot of good young talent along their defensive line, a couple of sophomores that. They're going to be really, really special players. And I just think overall they've got a chance to be much improved this year. They've got a young running back, a junior named Jackson Spencer, who's gone over 200 yards already and five touchdowns the first two games. And they've been playing a two quarterback system on offense. Wyatt Smith, a junior, and then of course Will Carter, a sophomore. They're still kind of figuring out the QB situation, but defensively they've been really, really good. And just remember this name, Michael Chobe. He's a 10th grader. He's a Ukrainian kid who just hasn't been in the United States that long, but has only played football for a little over a year and has a lot of potential. They've got a senior, Ladarius Jims, who's committed to Troy, who's a really good pass rusher as well. They've got a really good defensive team, and they've got their big rival Grissom coming up on Friday night, Coach.
Is it about time? Is it about? I get asked this all the time, so I'm going to ask the person who knows. Is Huntsville football all over Huntsville? Is it beginning to catch up with Birmingham and Montgomery and Mobile? Or do we still have a ways to go?
It still got a ways to go. I mean, I think Huntsville, with the hiring of Coach Gay, I think that's the first step in their process. And, you know, and right now Coach Gay's got really good numbers. You know, that's where you start. And Coach, 9 through 12, they've got 160 kids in the program. And so they're healthy numbers-wise. There needs to be a solid foundation built, and I think that's being done by Coach Gay. And certainly I think May Jemison has some talented young men. I watched Hezekiah Harris, who's committed to Auburn, who's a junior right now and a very good player. He had a sack and another tackle in the backfield. Certainly Hugh Freeze has got him committed already. And they've got four or five kids that have, you know, Division I offers in their program under Rico White, who came over from Anniston, is definitely on the upswing.
Yeah,
I think there's no question about that. Now, Lee's had some bright moments under Irvin McGuire, but I think they're in a little bit of a rebuild this year. And I'll have a better idea about Grissom. Grissom was very impressive, 41-6 over Lee in their opener, but they took a bye last week. Coach Rich Dutton, who came over a few years ago from Lawrence County after Chip English went to Albertville, is trying to rebuild that program. And then Columbia, you know, that's just they're still struggling a little bit, even though their enrollment's up at the school. But right now, Huntsville football, I'd say, is in a rebuild as a whole. I mean, they're trying to get better and working, but I think Huntsville is showing some signs in May Jemison. But right now, I think it's not as strong as even perhaps Bob Jones and James Clemens, because James Clemens got a really good win in week zero against Gardendale, who's got a very solid program, 17-10.
Yeah.
Chad McGehee's team took a bye last week. They will be playing Bob Jones in the Madison Bowl, which should be a sellout on Friday night. And Kelvis White's team is off to a really good start. They routed Coleman at home in their first game and then won 63-0 over Lee this past Friday. So that should be a really good battle there in 7A Region 4 between James Clemens and Bob Jones, which, as you know, is a huge rivalry.
Yeah, that is a big rivalry. We're talking to Drew DeArmond of 97.7 The Zone. You can hear him daily in Huntsville, and you don't want to miss him if you're in that area. I can promise you that. I know a little bit about Jimmy Gay. I was sent by Bubba Scott years ago up to Cordova. It may not have been Jimmy. I may have went up there on my own. I did go there one year to observe, but Jimmy was there, and I think it was 2015, and they had a pretty doggone good football team. And I was really impressed with Jimmy, and I lost count of him. What did he do after he left Cordova?
Yes, sir. They with Coach Gay, he spent some time. He won it in the early 2000s. He won a state championship with Parrish.
Yeah,
and stayed there for a couple of years. Did a really good job there, and had followed Coach Scott Basin. And he and Scott Basin were teammates together at UNA,
right?
And are best friends. And then, you know, for several years he told me that he was at Walker County, which is now Jasper High School, with Coach Holliday.
Right.
He was there for many years before he took the job at Cordova. He had a pretty good run at Cordova, and then When he left there, he reunited with Coach Scott Bazin, and he had been there for the last 5 years before as the offensive line coach, and done a great job with their strength program as well, and then decided to take the opportunity at Huntsville. And I think Huntsville's very blessed. I mean, he's an old school coach, but I think that's what Huntsville has needed. He's put some discipline and structure back into the program, and he's made connections with the right people. And it's like I told him, I said, Huntsville just needs some stability and somebody to you know, get the program back on solid ground. I think there's still a lot of enthusiasm and passion for it. It's just, they just need a little bit of a new direction. It's kind of like what Christian Swears has done with the basketball program. 7 years ago, he came in and he's reestablished a winning culture and just a overall environment that is really gained a lot of momentum. And I think the football program is very capable of that. You know, there's been a ton of enthusiasm since he took the job, and you can just see it on the field. I mean, defensively, the improvement has been stark and dramatic. I mean, it's kind of I can give a litmus test because I actually was fortunate enough during a bye week to do the Huntsville-Mays-Emerson game on the radio last year, and then to be back behind the mic for Huntsville this year and to see both games. And the defensive improvement and the fundamentals is just night and day. And
yeah,
he's doing a really good job. And I happened to watch his team beat a really good James Clemens team last year when Muscle Shoals came up there to win. And Muscle Shoals, as you know, with Scott Bazin, they're very fundamentally sound. And if you, when you were watching warmups, James Clemens probably had the more athletic team and the bigger team, but they were beaten soundly by a very well coached and fundamental team with a really, with some good athletes in their own in Muscle Shoals. And so Jimmy, and I didn't know that at the time that Coach K was going to be coming to Huntsville, but he's kind of imparting the same fundamentals and same principles in the program at Muscle Shoals that he and Scott Bazin have built. He's trying to do that at Huntsville, and the results so far have been very encouraging.
You know, I think the world of Scott Bazin, and if Jimmy was with him for that long, I can imagine those two guys. That's two good football coaches, and I'm wrong. I look back on my phone. It was 2003, and I saw him in Parrish. That's where he was.
That's
he was
correct.
At Parrish High School, and they did win a state championship, I think, that year, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. They certainly did.
Talk a little bit about his coaching staff, because has he been able to kind of remold that staff, or has he just kind of inherited a staff and he's got them on the same page?
Well, he's actually, Coach, he's kind of inherited a staff, and that's one reason when I met him, I met him when he got down, when he was hired in March, and he was trying to finalize his staff, and he decided not to have a spring practice because of that. He wanted to make sure there was some stability, and he knew who his coaches, you know, were going to be, and he absolutely was able to, you know, retain everybody, and then he added a key piece, a guy that's been around our community for a long time, you know, and Charlie Wilburn, who I'm good friends with, who had been at Hazel Green the last 2 years. He came in, he was kind of the last piece of the puzzle to coach, to help with the offensive line and also with the special teams. And they were also able to, and this happens sometimes when you have a coaching change, but he was able to recruit a punter, Jack McServey, off the soccer team. And he's been a revelation. He's done a great job punting and kicking the football, and he's already become a captain for them. And he's a 6'4 kid who's about 200 pounds. He's never played football before, but he's taken to it kind of like a fish to water, punting and kicking, and even made a tackle on special teams Friday night against Mays-Emerson. So he's a great kid. He's the class president, and it's one of those things sometimes when you have a coaching change, you're able to get some more kids out for football. And he's got a young guy that he's in his third season at Huntsville, Coach. And he's been coaching the linebackers the last 2 years, but he promoted him to defensive coordinator. And I interviewed him for our broadcast last week, and that's Navendra Woods. Just remember that name. I believe he played at Alabama A&M. And he's a young, energetic guy that the players love, and he was promoted to defensive coordinator. And it's just been an unbelievable change. And like I said, they've given up no points through the first eight quarters. And it'll be interesting to see how they do against Grissom on Friday night. But he's got a young staff that's very energetic. He's got two or three other first-year coaches. And they've done a really nice job on both sides of the ball. And he's got Coach Flippo, who returned as offensive coordinator. They had already known each other.
Yeah.
And he's done it. And Coach Flippo is a veteran who's coached on both the college and the high school level. And right now they're still trying to figure out quarterback a little bit, but they've got a nice young running back because I told you about Jackson Spencer. He's actually a transfer from JP2, but he's a hard-nosed, one-cut runner who's really kind of given them a lot of physicality at the line of scrimmage and inside the red zone. They've been able to run the football really well. And if you know Coach Jimmy Gay, he's a guy that likes to get into two tight ends. He loves to run the football and be physical, and that's kind of been their MO the first 2 weeks.
You know, those O-line guys, those of us O-line guys, that's the way we learn to play the game. And it doesn't surprise me at all that Jimmy, and coming from Scott Basedon's staff, you know, that's the way he loves to play too. Tell me about Rich Dutton over at Grissom, because I noticed their first game, they beat Lee, 40-6 or something like that, and they hadn't played. They didn't play last week. I didn't get their score, so they didn't play last week.
They didn't, and I think they've made some changes offensively. You know, they were a little bit of a wing T team last year, and that's where they had trouble. They got some talent in their front seven. You know, they've got, Jordy Miles, who's committed to East Carolina. I think has a chance to be a really good player, and they've got some other, nice pieces in their front seven on defense and some good athletes. They've been trying to kind of feel their way and find a way to move the football. They won 41-6 over Lee. I to be honest, I haven't seen film of them, but I did talk to Coach Dutton in our media day, and he was happy with where they were and the changes that they had made. And he felt like the culture was good. They had a really good off-season program. He felt like their numbers were getting better and getting stronger. And so it's going to be a huge game. It's going to be a big rivalry because, again, Huntsville shut them out last year, so they're certainly going to come in super motivated, no doubt about it. And they've got T.J. Cole, who starts both on the football team and basketball team. He's actually a transfer from Huntsville High. He transferred last year, but he's a really good defensive lineman. So they're going to have a good defensive front. They're definitely going to test Huntsville, just like Mae Jemison did. The key is going to be Huntsville's going to have to, continue to run the football well and take the pressure off the QB and not turn the ball over. They had some turnover issues against Hazel Green and allowed the Trojans to kind of stay in that game, but they were able to protect the football against Mae Jemison. And then they made a couple of explosive plays, one of them, of course, being a pick six. That's been the key. They've scored on defense the first two games, but it's going to be probably, if Grissom can hang in on the line of scrimmage, it's probably going to be a low-scoring game because, again, both teams have good defensive lines with some talent on them, and it's just going to be who can protect the football and who can make a couple plays. Huntsville does have a couple of senior wide receivers in Jack Carter, who's got some speed. He had a 72-yard touchdown catch against Hazel Green. And then Lawson Neighbors, and that last name's familiar. He's the nephew of Wes Neighbors, and of course the son of Keith Neighbors. He had a touchdown catch in the last game. He's got some speed outside. So Jimmy Gay likes to run the football and then take vertical shots. So it'll be interesting to see if that Grissom secondary can hold up in coverage against a couple of talented receivers from Huntsville High.
That'll be an interesting matchup. I was really impressed with Hartsell hiring Burt Newton. I thought it was a great hire. But the first week of the season, he and Jeremy Perkins over at Austin, they had a old-fashioned shootout, didn't they?
Oh, yes, sir. It was double overtime. And actually, we honored Austin last week as our Bryant Bank 97.7 Zone Team of the Week. And Jeremy Perkins fully admitted that the call on the two-point conversion was there. It's just they were very fortunate that the throw wasn't completed, by Hartsell to win that game 35-34. It ended up being a 34-33, overtime win for Austin. And Austin and Jeremy Perkins, this is his 15th year there. He's done a really good job. They have a very talented quarterback once again. They always have a good team along the line of scrimmage. I mean, if you ask me early, I would say – it'll depend on what happens in the Madison Bowl. But right now, I think Austin and James Clemens are probably the two favorites in 7A Region 4 as we get region play underway. But Austin has got a really consistent program. You know, they had to replace some pieces on offense from last year, but I think they're in the process of doing that. They're always very solid defensively. And that game with Hartsell had their number the last couple of years. So them being able to knock them off, it's always big because, as you know, Hartsell is a very, very consistent program. Coach Newton will do a great job there. Their culture is always very strong. And anytime you beat a team like Hartsell, and then they turn around and shut out Decatur, who is rebuilding under first-year coach John Ritter, who spent the last several years at Russellville and before that West Morgan, you know, you've done something good. And I will say this, too. Speaking of West Morgan, Drew Phillips had a very good team last year, Coach, and they have reloaded. They shut out Randolph in week one and then went over to Brooks and just beat Brooks very, very soundly. Watch out for Drew Phillips and West Morgan. They're very, very good again.
Yeah, Drew Phillips is one of those coaches who just gets it, Drew. I'm just telling you, you kind of turned me on to him. And so I started keeping up with those guys, and they're really good. They're really, really good. And that guy knows how to get kids to play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I think Decatur finally got it right with John Ritter. I really do.
Well, I think so too. And I'm honored. I live across the street from Whitesburg Christian Academy, so having Jerry Adcock back at it,
I love that.
And building that program is fun. I mean, I can walk across the street and go watch him practice, and I have a really good relationship with Coach, and we're glad that he only spent 1 year out of it. And I knew he was itching because we named Wes Morgan our team of the week last year. And I started having some, there was a guy at the very top, and it was cold that day, Coach. It was later in the season, and he was bundled up in a jacket and a boggin. He was waving at me, and he came down on the field, and it was Coach Adcock. And I said, "Hey, man," I said, "you still got that itch, huh?" He's like, "Yeah, I just love watching these guys practice. They're so good." So I knew Coach was, you know, going to get back in it. I'm glad that he took this job up here. They're building a lot of facilities over at Whitesburg Christian Academy, and they're going to build him a stadium and a field house. And I think he's going to have a chance to have a really good program, and it's great to have him back. And I think Coach Ritter will do a really good job. He certainly did at West Morgan and Russellville. Yeah. And they had a bump in the road last year at Decatur, but he's going to have to rebuild that program, but it's a very proud one with a lot of tradition. And certainly Coach Adcock had a really good year in his last year at Decatur, but I think Coach Ritter can get it back. It's just going to take some time. And right now Coach Perkins has a really, really solid, you know, foundation and culture built there. But Decatur will be back. I don't think there's any doubt. And certainly I think Coach Ritter was a really solid hire.
Well, people, and we're talking to Drew DeArmond of 97.7 The Zone in Huntsville. Hope you get a chance to listen to him. a lot of people around the state don't know, and I'm lucky that I do know this because I played for Coach Calvin at Sylacauga. But Austin and Decatur is another one of those rivals. We had Keith Etheridge on earlier, and we're talking about Auburn-Opelika. Austin and Decatur doesn't take a back seat to anybody. It hadn't in the past anyway.
No, not at all. It's like a Grissom and Huntsville. It's a huge rivalry. It's a sellout every year, like James Clemens and Bob Jones. It's one of your Alabama-Auburn type rivalries. Those communities are very close to one another. It's a little bit different now that Austin has a new campus and school and their own stadium, but certainly it's very, very intense. And so it's a rivalry that's underrated. And, you know, it's kind of like the Madison Academy Randolph rivalry as well. Randolph got their first win ever at Madison Academy this past Friday night, 32-31. They bounced back after having a tough opener against that West Morgan bunch we just talked about. And then Coach Godsey, you know, he's playing his usual brutal schedule. They're really young. They still got A.J. Rice, the Mississippi State committed linebacker, and Josh Williams at tailback. But he's got, you know, some inexperience at the quarterback position. Lost a lot of talent, led by Reese Baker, who's now at Tulane, you know, along that offensive line. And so they had a rough win, 34-7, against a really, really good Marsh Hill team. Coach Higgins, they're going to be a state championship contender again. And then they lost that heartbreaker at home to Randolph. I still think they're going to be a factor now that they've moved up to 4A Region 8, but they're just going to have to, you know, stabilize themselves a little bit. They're going to head to DAR this weekend, which is probably on Friday. That'll probably help them start to get started in the right direction. But again, you know Coach Godsey very well. They will they started 0-2 about 3 years ago and then went on like a 9-10 game winning streak. So he'll get things figured out. But right now, they just opened with two tough opponents. And Coach David Lloyd, he's got a senior quarterback in William Mitchell. And the amazing thing about this, that the win at Madison Academy, is they did it, Coach, without their best player, Graham Beatty, who starts at running back and safety, and in my opinion, should play small college football. He's as fundamentally sound a player as you're ever going to find. And if you had told me before the season, you know, Randolph is going to beat Madison Academy without Graham Beatty,
yeah,
I would have never believed it. But it was a great coaching job by David Lloyd and his staff.
Well, last thing, because I've always thought the world of this guy, and as a matter of fact, I even told the superintendent he's crazy if he doesn't hire him. And I'm talking about Darrell Higgins at Morris Hill. And tell me about that football team, because I know they've had two good wins. I saw where they beat Bob and them 34-7, and then they beat Russellville 28-14. And Darrell Higgins is a guy that just gets it, doesn't he?
No, they're so sound in what they do. And, of course, you know, they lost a five-year starter at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, that we know was such a great player. And I saw that playoff game last year, which is, you know, that playoff run by Madison Academy where, you know, it started in the second round with Mars Hill. It was such a great football game. And then they had to beat a really good Sylvania team. And then they had to go to Geraldine. It was just an unbelievable run by those kids, man, and to get to the finals. But Mars Hill, they had been upset late in the year. That really should have probably been a semifinal matchup, but they played it in the second round. And Coach Higgins, we all know he came from the John Mothershed tree and what they did at Deschler. And they run the wing tee better than anyone.
Yeah.
You know, they're so good at it. They have such a great system there. You know, they have an outstanding running attack. Their defense and their front seven is very, very physical, very, very good. He's just done an amazing job of building that program and already winning a state title and being a contender. And really, the program is still just really getting started, honestly. I mean, if you want to be truthful about it, they haven't had football that long. But I will agree with you, much like I think Jimmy Gay has been a really good fit for Huntsville. You could not have done a better job of hiring somebody if you're Mars Hill than Darrell Higgins,
yep,
who was kind of the wizard behind the curtain for John Mothershed and has done such a great job with that program and making them, you know, one of the best programs in North Alabama. I know they're in different classes now, one's 3A, one's 4A, but I'd like to see Madison Academy and Mars Hill continue to play just simply because you don't get to see two Hall of Fame coaches like Darrell Higgins and Bob Godsey go head-to-head enough. If you love high school football in the state of Alabama, there's nothing better than watching those two guys go head to head.
Boy, that's good stuff. That is what I call the encyclopedia of Drew DeArmond. And you can catch him every morning on 97.7. I guess it's still the morning. They hadn't moved you to the afternoon drive, have they?
No, sir. We're still 7 to 9 a.m.
I love it.
We've expanded our high school network. We've got Louis LeBlanc and Westminster Christian Academy, who also are off to a great start. They won their first game and were very impressive over East Limestone, and then went on the road to face the Pruitts and came back and won that game in the fourth quarter, 37-33. They've got a senior that's in his first year playing running back, Evan McClure. He's had two really huge weeks, and they lost a lot of talent. They had the best team in school history last year going to the semifinals, and of course they lost Brandon Mush, who is one of the best players really in AHSAA history when you look at his total offensive numbers. He's now at Charleston Southern,
yeah,
at quarterback, and so he moved on, but they've been able to reload a little bit, and they're off to a really good start, and we're honored to have them as well as part of our network, and it's just been really exciting so far. We've had a lot of great ball games early, and we feature Bob Godsey and Louis LeBlanc and Jimmy Gay every Friday on our show. And high school football is just a big part of what we do at 97.7 The Zone. And we certainly appreciate you letting us come on this podcast and talk about North Alabama high school football.
Well, we're going to keep doing it. We'll do it periodically, I can promise you, probably three or four or five times during the year because you keep us all posted. And we appreciate you and love you, Drew. And that last thing I'm going to say, how about Kalen DeBoer? Are you happy?
Oh, yeah. It was. I was there on Saturday night. It was quite a debut.
I knew it.
And of course, you got a chance to see him live a lot. But I knew Ryan Williams was special, but he certainly lived up to the hype in game one. And can't wait to continue to see him grow. And it's pretty good when you're averaging 70 yards a touch and you're 17 years old. But what a talent he is. And I think Alabama and Auburn are both on the right track right now. Auburn's got a lot of great young talent. I mean, Jason Caldwell and I were talking on our show this morning, that senior class, and Ryan reclassified, but that class of wide receivers that came out this past year, I think it's the greatest in state history, and it's really going to be something to watch Ryan grow at Alabama and watch those four young men that are already making plays at Auburn continue to grow in that offense for Hugh Freeze.
All right, we got to get out of here, pal. Take care. God bless. Be well, okay?
Thank you, Coach.
It's Drew DeArmond.
Appreciate you very much.
Drew DeArmond, 97.7 The Zone in Huntsville. We'll be right back on the Pops Midtown communication lines with Coach Kate Wood of McGill-Tulane talking about volleyball.
It's the High School Sports Today podcast with Coach Rick Cleveland.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today. And, boy, I owe this lady an apology. I mean, I owe you an apology. Kate Wood, the head volleyball coach at McGill-Tulane. And I had that lady that's the sports director at Channel 5, and boy, I'm telling you, she got on me. I said, is McGill-Tulane back? And she laughed at me, and she said, are they back? They're still the best in Alabama. So my apologies. I meant, would they have a chance to win it again this year? And boy, obviously, you girls are certainly back. But how'd you do today, Kate?
We beat Baker tonight, so had a good match and saw lots of improvement from a lot of girls.
I want you to talk about this volleyball team because the tradition of the Dirty Dozen, which you know all about, is something that resonates on Old Shell Road and all over Mobile because your girls play a just an outstanding, exciting brand of volleyball. I want you to talk a little bit about that tradition. It goes all the way back to Becky and maybe even before that. But talk just a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I am not from Alabama. And so that was part of the interview. People kept trying to explain it to me. And, you know, I was listening and I love the game of volleyball. And I think you can't really understand it until you're in it. First of all, and just all the connections that there are to the program. And, you know, there's so many people who have been a part of it, or their, you know, their cousin was, or their aunt was, their grandmother was. And so it's pretty cool when you're just in the state and somebody always knows somebody that has played for the Dirty Dozen. And, it's pretty honoring to be a part of it and to get to, you know, be in charge of it right now. But, I am humbled that I get to be a part of it each day.
And that I'm trying to go by memory, so help me here. I believe you're a Texas native, and I think you're from Arlington, if I'm not mistaken.
I am. That's right.
And one of my dear friends was a head football coach at Lamar High School many, many, many years ago. And I think that's your high school. Because
were you friends with Eddie Peach?
That's exactly who I'm talking about.
Oh man. Oh yeah. Eddie Peach. I would have been a senior in high school. I went to Lamar High School and I looked him in the eye and I said, I'll be back in 4 years for a job. I was, it actually took me five. They made me go to a junior high and then they hired somebody else as the head coach after that year, and I was just miffed. I couldn't believe they didn't want me. And I had to but yeah, Eddie Pease was a great mentor, his friend, his wife, Debbie,
yep,
is still a friend of our family as well. So anyway, that's funny.
It's funny. Small world, isn't it? Really a
small
world.
It really no doubt.
Is. How did McGill Toulon come into play in your life?
My husband is from Fairhope, Alabama, and he was desperate to get back home, I laughingly say, to the land of milk and honey. And so we were married for about 16 years in Arlington, Texas, both teaching there, and we were going to make a change. And he just kept begging me, would you please look for jobs in Alabama? And I said, no, I don't want to go there. And as God would have it, this job came open, and my husband begged me to apply for it. And when I did, I got on an interview, and just the more I learned about the school and the administration and the way it was run, I just knew that's where our family was supposed to be. So it's a pretty wild story how I showed up in McGill, at McGill Toulon Catholic.
That's a pretty cool story right there. And of course, Brent being a native of Fairhope, and I know it was good for him to get back home. I know that.
He loves it. He loves it.
Yeah, and so let's talk about this team. I'm still puzzled when y'all play the fifth game. Why is that a shortened game?
Just because it is. It always has been. So yeah, the fifth is the 15. It's a race.
I just never have understood that. Just
the nuance of the game, the rules of the game.
So
definitely makes it exciting.
I was fixing to say it has to.
Yeah,
it has to.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of college coaches who will talk about how much you should be practicing games, those fifth games, because a fifth game can make and break your season. You know, one or two here or there, and you're talking about just 15 points, and they're usually over in about less than 15 minutes. It's over, and they really do. They can make and break your season.
Ooh,
so you better know what you're doing when you get in.
A lot of strategy in that.
Yes,
of strategy.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about some of these young ladies, because we need to highlight these young ladies. What a fabulous, fabulous volleyball team you have.
I've got some great ones. I've got two great seniors who've been on the varsity since their sophomore year. Paris McWhirter, who was the state MVP and is one of the best players in the state. She's committed to play volleyball at North Alabama, and it's had a good, solid start to the season. And then our other sophomore, Grace George, she just came flying out of the gate her senior year and has had a huge role in playing the highest level volleyball I've seen her play. So it's been really exciting to see that from her. And her teammates selected her to be their captain. So that's been good to watch her blossom into that role. I've got a great group of junior girls that are returning. Catherine McLean, who played last year as a sophomore, was our leader in kills opening week. So that was exciting to see from her. She got a little banged up, got a little injured, and had to take the last weekend off. So hopefully she'll be back in action this next one. Cammie Huff is actually already committed. She's a junior, but she's committed to the West Virginia University. That was really exciting summer for her.
Yeah.
She's going to be a stud, and that's exciting. Jaden Lang is another one of our juniors. She played as a sophomore in the middle, and she's back. Olivia McClure is new to the varsity, so that's going to be a good mix of some old to get in there. And then Peyton McLaren has won the libero position, and she played as a sophomore, so that's been great. And then got some great sophomores. Alice Wood, my daughter, is setting. And then Caitlin Miller has just really blossomed Both of them were on the team as freshmen, and they've just really blossomed into some playing really good volleyball as sophomores. And we've got some other sophomores on the team as well, but it's just great group of girls. They really get after it. They play a lot of volleyball in the off season.
Right.
And they're just, I mean, our practice gym, I tell the parents it's hard because you only get to play six at a time.
Right.
And, but you know, you almost wish the parents could come watch practice because the level is super high and all the kids are just getting better every day.
And your competition,
really encouraged.
Yeah. Your competition within your team has got to be very competitive.
It is. And, you know, that's some of the best teams we've had since I've been there that our staff has had. It's usually when both sides of the net, you know, your starters and your non-starters are competing at a super high level.
Right.
And we've been seeing that for the last month, and that's been really exciting. And then we're just trying to raise up young women who support other women and have each other's backs and compete hard, but really – root for each other, so that's a big focus as well. Kind of like my friend Simone
yes,
Eli.
Ma'am, I'm telling you.
On my back, right?
Yeah, she had your back. I bet she called you, too. I bet she called you and told you, Simone, I wasn't even going to give her any pub tonight, but doggone it, you did. But Simone, really, I love Simone. We just love having her on our podcast. But she said, boy, she said.
She's a sports junkie. I'm a sports junkie, so I love it. You can tell she's a tomboy. I'm a tomboy. I know too much about sports. I'll watch anybody win anything. You know, if you're going to win something, I'm going to watch it. I love it.
Are you and Brent that competitive at everything?
No, you know, we enjoy sports. I probably enjoy sports even more than my husband does. He likes it, I think, because he's kind.
Yeah.
And he wants to enjoy what I enjoy.
Right.
But he likes to win. But my father was a high school basketball coach, my whole family, just growing up, we were bored all the time.
Well, so here's what we got to do. We got to set up a golf match, and I don't even know if you play golf.
I'm terrible.
I don't know if Simone can play or not, but I saw her swing. It was on somewhere. I saw it, and she had a good swing. So
now, hold on. Now I'll play like pickleball or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing golf.
Okay, so you'll challenge Simone in a pickleball game.
There you go.
Okay,
there you go.
That's reasonable. That's reasonable.
All right, sounds good.
Tell me about your schedule. The rest, as far as next week, kind of looking forward to your toughest matches. Where are they? And every school's a tough match. I know that, but what I mean.
You know, everybody's coming after you, so you're going to get everybody's best.
Yeah.
And our kids, I would say this team more than any team I've had, they know it and they feel it and they embrace it.
Yeah,
I've had some other teams that have really, they know it, but they couldn't embrace it. And just, you know, we talked a lot in the off season about acknowledging that.
Yeah,
that every time you step on the floor, you're getting someone's best.
Yeah.
And so it's a certainty. So acknowledge it and then move on. And this team so far has really been able to do that, and I've been impressed with that. But we're hosting a big event this weekend called the Catholic Cup, and so we've invited the best Southeast teams we could get to come in that are Catholic schools. So we've got two from Louisiana, Mount Carmel, and Archbishop Hannon are coming in. St. Pius X from Atlanta. Blessed Trinity from the Atlanta area is coming in. And then we got an Alabama school coming down, and John Paul, and then Pensacola Catholic's coming over. Last year we had St. Thomas Aquinas from Fort Lauderdale come in as well. So we get some pretty good competition to come in, and that's really fun. It's a good fellowship weekend, but really high level of volleyball.
Yeah.
And so, and that's nice to be able to kind of work on your game at a high level and play some opponents that you don't always see. And then we'll just get right back after it. You know, we'll get into area. We'll host Bayside this year. That'll be a big match now that they're in 7A.
Yeah.
Daphne is much improved. They're in our area this year. They've really shocked a lot of people coming out of the gate. So Daphne is a very good team. And then we're going to play a big tournament. It's just it's a quad. There's only four teams, and it's us, Mountain Brook, Bob Jones, and Fairland.
Boy.
So wow. It was the finals, the 6A final and the 7A final from 2023 are meeting up at the end of the month in Mountain Brook. So,
that's awesome.
So you better be ready to go. Yeah, it'll be good stuff.
So I better do this for Simone, I can promise. We're talking to the defending 7A state champion coach, Kate Wood. And so we've set up a pickleball match between Simone and Kate.
No, I don't know.
But,
we'll see if she plays. I'm not that good.
Well, so we need to get you on the Saturday show. We're on from 8 to 10 Saturday. Can we squeeze you in there?
This Saturday, probably not. Next Saturday, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we'll
would love to be there next Saturday.
We'll try to plan that. We sure will.
Sounds great.
So you take care. Thanks for being with us, Kate.
All right.
And
absolutely. Take care.
We look forward to talking to you soon. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
That's Kate Wood, and you talking about a volleyball coach that she gets it too. And when we say a coach gets it, we mean that they know how to handle players. And they know how to teach them and teach them the right way. And when they walk off the court, they shake your hand. And if they lose to you, they shake your hand. We'll see you next time. And I love that. Absolutely love that. Look, thank you for being a part of the Thompson Tractor High School Sports Today. Appreciate our producer, Steve Stanley, and everything that they do for us here at FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile. And remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here, same place, same time, next week.